you. Please be seated. I want to send my greetings and blessings to those on the CD subscription list around our country. And we are going to be opening the Bible this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And when we go to John chapter 3, there's always seems like there's a verse that we go to in John chapter 3. Anybody could guess what that might be? Verse 16. This morning I'm blessed to be able to share on a subject that I've entitled Selfless Service. I know that may be a dirty word. Actually, the most repeated personal pronoun in most conversations is the word I. They say that the sweetest name to a man's ears is his own. You know, most people think primarily about themselves. But God has really given us a supernatural ability to serve selflessly in this life. It's not a characteristic of human nature generally for people to be selfless. Matter of fact, I'm going to go as far as to say that selfishness is an old man characteristic. It's a part of the old nature. It is not who we really are. John 3:16, I think there's a great example there. I'm going to have Todd stand and read that, please. That's right. For God so loved that He did what? He gave. You see, love is manifested in giving. That's how we show our love for one another, our love for God, our love for the body of Christ, our love for whatever you fill in the blank. How do you express love? Well, certainly you can do it by words, can't you? But you know, to quote an old cliche is, actions speak a lot louder than words. Now, I've seen husbands and wives down through the years who say they love each other, but you know what? They fight like cats and dogs. And I will look at that example and I say, how can you be saying one thing and doing another? Well, there's a disease in Christianity. It's called mental assent. Mental assent. It says, yes, I believe this is the Word of God. I believe this is God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. But the one thing mental assent does is it does everything but act on the Word of God literally. That's the cancer of Christianity. It's saying yes to the Word. I agree with it. But I won't act on it. And you know what? If that really is true, then you'd have to really question, does that individual really believe? They may agree, but do they really believe? Because believing is going to produce some sort of action in the senses realm. God has given us the Spirit so that we can act supernaturally in a senses-dominated world. That's why selflessness that we're here to talk about today, the giving of oneself in obedience to the Word of God, it's not always convenient. You know that? God may actually ask you to do something, or one of the fellow believers may ask you to do something, or you may get a phone call in the middle of the night that's not convenient. It doesn't flow with your schedule. Now you have a choice to make. You can either not answer the phone, you can screen your calls, or you can answer that phone believing God that whatever action you need to take is something that God would have you to do. So the giving of oneself in obedience to the Word of God, it's not always convenient, as most parents can attest to. Anybody who ever had a child realizes that getting up at 2, 3, whatever time in the evening to take care of a crying child, a sick child, you end up putting that child's needs above your own, don't you, moms? Don't you, dads? Absolutely. And certainly the death of Jesus Christ was not convenient for him to do, was it? He knew what was going to happen through the Old Testament. The fulfillment of the vision God had was greater than his own desires. And he subjected himself to make that his desire. And you know that because you read about it in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let's look in 1 John chapter 5. What a great, great subject from God's Word. Because selfless giving of oneself is part of the new nature reality. See, you just don't take what you like and do that. You either take it all or you take none of it. Well, I'm going to take this and I'll take that. Oh, yeah, this is like a grab bag, you know. Let's see. Oh, I like the joy part. I'm going to get me some of that. Financial? Oh, no. Financial giving. Ooh, no, I don't like that. Hey, it's either the whole package or it's none of it. See? What's the cancer of Christianity? Mental assent. It says, I agree with these things of God's Word, but not to the point of doing anything about it. I agree with it, but I won't do anything about it. It does everything but act on the Word of God, literally. Like Peter stepping out of that boat. Jesus says, come to me. He just steps out. And boom, the guy is walking on water. We're in 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 9. No, I don't want that verse. It's here somewhere. It's the verse that talks about that if, you know, God gave, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son. What is it? 4:9. And this was manifested the love of God towards us because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. What is love? Well, here, this is what God's Word says about it. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins and for the sin nature. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Go back to the Gospel of Matthew, please. Gospel of Matthew. Part of the great quest of our lives is learning how to live the lifestyle of that which we have received. We've received the new nature. Now, what do we do with it? Well, sure, there's a conflict sort of raging out there. But you know where the real conflict rages on? Right up here. It's not in your big toe. It's in your mind. See, and a lot of these decisions that take place in a person's heart and mind, they take place in a moment of time. Boom, boom. You know, a lot of times people aren't even really thinking about it a whole lot. They're just sort of responding and moving on. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. So when Jesus called unto him his 12 disciples, verse 1 says, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 5 says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying,
Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received. Do what? Give. Give. Jesus understood this. He empowered these individuals. He sent them forth, said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. See? You've received. Now get out there and give. Give it away. See? And in the process of giving it away, you grow. See? In another place it says it's more blessed to give than to receive. What? How can that be? I always get so much more blessed receiving. This word of God is not designed to according to the five senses. This word of God is God's will. If God says it's more blessed to give than to receive, guess what? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I could say, I say, well, I agree with that. But then if I do nothing to indicate in my actions that I agree with that, then it's just lip service. Saying, well, I agree with it, but it's not for me. See. We have been empowered in the new birth to give. It's written throughout all of God's Word. And we're more blessed to be able to do that. One of the greatest activating principles in human life is the motivation to serve. The principle of service is more powerful than that of financial rewards. A believer's ethics include both love, which is the love of God and the renewed mind, and service. Man has free will and is therefore spiritually and morally responsible for his conduct. Man's free will places in his hands the responsibility to direct his own life. To the extent that a man willfully determines to make God's will, he will find himself a doulos, bonded slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the inherent and inerrant accuracy of God's word. Being a slave, living a life of service and commitment, produces the greatest attainable freedom. What a paradox. A true man will have superb confidence in his own inspiration, desire, and ability. Men who hear the call of God most clearly are most likely to easily justify the sacrifice they make in following it. A man who hears the call clearly enough, yet decides not to sacrifice himself, his own ease and comfort, is rightfully condemned. The duty of service includes the responsibility of sacrifice, because that service which costs us nothing is valueless. Self-sacrifice, the giving of oneself completely, is the passion of great men, most vividly exemplified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Self-sacrifice must be a part of our ministry for every individual believer. In the principle of the ethics of sacrifice is this truth, that mankind can have nothing for which someone is not prepared to pay the price. Sacrifice demands that someone have great commitment. There's also the principle that each man has his appropriate status and duties. The truth that all born-again believers are of equal value in the eyes of God does not indicate that every man must necessarily do the same work or receive the same education or be paid the same wages, but does indicate that all good work in every profession or sphere is honorable. The return of Jesus Christ, as set forth in the Scriptures of truth, gives every man a motive, a reason for action, making every believer's life worthwhile, which brings forth the life of the doulos, the highest type of heroism. Let's look in Philippians chapter 2, shall we? Oh my gosh, we're looking for heroes and we ourselves are they. God, throughout His Word, just says, get out there and do it, kids. You got it. You got everything there is. Now just get out in there and serve with your whole heart in whatever capacity you can serve in. Isn't that what Romans 12 is talking about? Now that you've identified yourself as being freed from the sin nature, you're a son of God, you're righteous. Now it says, let every man function as God has placed those members in the body of Christ. With the greatest commitment, the greatest service, comes the greatest amount of freedom and liberty. Boy, that's an oxymoron or a paradox or whatever it is. Because in the world it says, no commitment. No responsibilities. You know what that is? That's slavery. That's bondage. God encourages us to be ultimately committed in serving. And you're going to be free. Philippians chapter 2. It says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem what others do what? Better than what? Unbelievable. This is what God's Word is exhorting us to do. Isn't that something? To actually put someone else's need above your own. And I'm talking about outside your physical family even. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was where? Also in Christ Jesus. He made of himself no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, and no one's asking you or me to do that. It says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Wow, what an exhortation from God's Word. This is the word of life. This is the word of truth. These things God gives us because He knows it's going to be the best for us. And I want to read this section, a couple verses in the Amplified Version, Philippians chapter 2. This really look in verse 2, Philippians 2:2. Fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony, in being of the same mind and one in purpose, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one harmonious mind and intention. Do nothing from factional motives, through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or be prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, which is lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Holy cow. You talk about a vision God has for our life to walk as supernatural, more than conquerors. We still probably have a ways to go. See? Because again, the most frequently used personal pronoun in most people's conversations is the word I. I. We have God's Spirit born within our lives, and that is God's spirit of selflessness. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's look in Romans chapter 12. So what do we do with all this? Well, gosh, God's word is full of different things that we can do with it. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "Brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by what? Love, serve one another." In Galatians 5:10, it says, "As ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith." See? In Ephesians 5, it talks about walking in love. See? In Romans 12, which is really the beginning of the sonship walk, and now we're talking in Philippians, where basically, you know, a lot of the believers have, you know, grown and matured, have been faithful in their understanding of their sonship and their ability to walk by the renewed mind. Philippians, you know, really kind of exhorts people to take it up to the next level. See. But in Romans chapter 12 here, verse 1, it says, "I beseech you, I lovingly implore, I beg you," God saying. Can you imagine God begging us to do something? Let's say lovingly implore. "I lovingly implore you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies until you just get burned at the stake," right? What does this say? A living sacrifice. You think God would ask us to do something that's just, "Oh my God, what a burden to walk for the Lord, carrying the sins of the world on my shoulders." Hey, come on. God encourages us because of what we've been given, the freedom we've received as sons of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we don't be conformed to this world of selfishness, this world of greed and lust and corruption and all sorts of other things that you could throw in there. Because you know what? That affects us. We live in the world. I mean, occasionally we might get some thoughts that might promote that type of thinking. Well, you know, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, you remember this, it's one of our itineraries, remember? I bet we could all say it together, couldn't we? What does it say? "Casting down imaginations and every high thing which exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Very good. Pat yourself on the back. Demolish your human logic to the high point to which you have lifted it vertically against the knowledge of God. That's a literal translation of that. Demolish it, blow it smithereens, your human logic and reasoning. What's the standard for truth? And not that I just agree with it. That's not good enough. That's not enough. It's I believe it. I believe it to the point that I'm going to incorporate it in my life. I'm going to walk on it. God's word says giving financially is good for me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it. Because God says, that's the way I prove the word of God to myself. That builds my trust relationship with God Almighty. That God is going to provide for me. Not my silly job. What if you get laid off tomorrow? Your job does not meet your needs. God Almighty meets your needs. That's because that's what the truth of God's word says so. It says in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So there. So what to do with all this stuff? Doggone it. We're talking about selfless service here. Boy, you know what? God's all about this. You talk to the Father on a daily basis, I guarantee He's going to give you at least one thing to do. Father, what would you like for me to do? Boom. You know, and then it's just kind of a roller coaster from there. See? I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make it a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, meaning your rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its ideals and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Ladies and gentlemen, what a life we've been called to live. Jesus takes the 12. He sends them out. No money in their pocket. Maybe no shoes on their feet. He says, go out. You're empowered. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out lepers. And then He says, freely you have received, freely give. And you know what most people say? I haven't received enough yet. As soon as I receive enough, then I'll really be freed to go serve. Now, somehow that's some kind of really warped logic. I just don't see that, see, in God's Word. Remember, we are born again sons of God. We've got the nature of God within us, and that is a nature of selflessness. Selflessness, see? Let the same mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, see? Found Himself in the likeness of a man. Well, you find yourself in your own body, whatever you are, man or woman. But He humbled Himself, and then He served. What do we have to serve in this life? Oh, my God. Check this out. What do they say? Over 900 promises in this Word of God. Pick one and start serving it on a silver platter. Because selfishness will kill. I mean, it just robs the joy of really serving. One of the things that Philippians talks about is the joy of the believers serving. Well, how do you get to that mindset? Well, you serve selflessly. See? Not in what do I receive back from this. See? Well, if I'm going to invest in the stock market, I may be concerned about what I'm going to get back. If I'm going to open a checking account, I want to know how much interest I'm getting. See, I think a lot of times people play the Christianity game like that. Well, you know, I might put something in there like that, but what's in it for me ultimately? Because, you know, I am number one. And I got to watch out for myself here now. You know. Tell me that logic doesn't work in people's thinking. There have been books written about it. It's all over everything because, you know what? Honestly, and I'm not like trying to get in your face over this, but most people think about themselves. The number one personal pronoun in most conversations is the word I. We saw a guy at the Improv a number of years ago. His name was Al LaBelle. Really an interesting comedy routine. Because what he would talk about was himself. He said, you know, there's many, many things in this world that I really like, but there's one thing I really like to talk about. Al LaBelle. Now, you know, we've had some great times down here in San Diego, but you know what? I've really enjoyed being with myself because I love myself. I'm Al LaBelle. Well, you know what? It may be a little more subtle for us than that. We can kind of joke around about it. But we live in an arena that's endeavoring to keep us self-focused, self-centered, self-motivated. Me, I. What can I get? Where am I going? What am I going to do? I. You even hear it in marriages. Husband and wife, they don't work together like we, this is our marriage. It's I think this and I think, well, maybe we ought to go back to Romans chapters 1 through 8 realize who we are and our identification as sons of God, see, start serving and functioning within the body of Christ wholeheartedly, see, and then maybe God can reveal some of these things to us. I mean, you've got the Spirit of God within you, so the question, I guess, becomes, what do we do with it at this point? See, I can teach this passionately. You know why? I believe I endeavor to really try and live this way. But I wouldn't tell you to do something that I myself wouldn't do. And for any of you who've spent any time around me or know me, this is what I try to live and exemplify in my life. I'm not saying I've perfected it. See? But it's a high standard. And it's one that can be lived day by day. So, Father, thank you for the opportunity to serve in whatever capacity, Father, but that we just do it passionately with our hearts, and that we just see the great blessings, that we remember things like our Lord Jesus said, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Father, may our lives exemplify the things we know and understand and believe from your word, and may our actions correspond with the words that are coming out of our mouths. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you very much. Great.